research that tells us we need a certain amount of sleep every night to function well during the day. But how many of us actually achieve that? Tomorrow is World Sleep Day. So this morning we're taking a look at the importance of sleep, the signs and symptoms of sleep deprivation, and also getting some tips on better sleeping habits. Deb Herdman is here. She's a local health professional sleep expert. She runs Nai Nai Sleepyhead from Heathcote and has a nursing background as well. She's going to take questions. If you've got any sleeping issue, you might want to call or text in about this morning. 1-300-813-911 is the phone number. Give us a bell right now on 1-300-813-911. All the lines are free at the moment, so if you call, you'll definitely get on to speak to Deb to get some advice. 1-300-813-911. Alternatively, you can text in on 0467-842-722. Deb, good morning.
Good morning, Fiona. Thanks for having me on the program.
I was reading that there's close to 100 disorders of sleep. What are some of the more common ones?
Yes, there's a huge amount of global research that's going on at the moment into sleep and why we need it. It's not just to make you feel good. It has a lot of functions that are essential for your body to cope with life, really. Some of the things that happen when we sleep include repairs of our cells. So cells that need to regenerate, cells that are injured, all are repaired during the time that we sleep. There is some research to say that our brain is one of the major organs that needs sleep because toxins are washed out of the cells at the actual time when you're laying down. So it's really vital that we get enough sleep. Some of the other things, of course, include memory and recall, which don't happen that well when you're not sleeping. Hormones are also regulated when we sleep. Growth hormone for children particularly happens at night time when they're sleeping. And we have some hormones that control our hunger and feelings of fullness that when you don't sleep, those hormones are dysregulated. And a lot of people that particularly work night shift or are in chronic states of sleep deprivation tend to be obese, and that's often the reason why, because of those hormones out of whack.
And so given all that repairing that's happening during sleep, it's no surprise that we feel good when we've had a good night's sleep. So just talk us through again some of the more common kind of disorders that you run across in your profession that people might experience. So you hear the word sleep apnea, for example.
Yes, there's two sides, really. There's medical conditions that stop you sleeping, such as sleep apnea, for some children, for instance, the snorers, and also for adults. And all those sorts of things really need to be assessed by a medical professional. Sometimes surgical intervention is required. Other times psychoanalysis is required to do cognitive therapy training so people learn to sleep better.
Ken on the text says, oh, yes, sleep deprivation. ABC's the problem. I have to listen to Phil's quiz, then the issue of the day, then Trevor Chapel at 2 a.m., and then I have to be awake again at 6:30 to catch Fiona. No wonder I'm exhausted, says Ken. Thank you, Ken. People do often listen to the radio overnight, don't they? People think that it does calm them and help them get to sleep. Is that the case in some cases, or should people just turn off?
Look, some people do find a lead up to sleep to be listening to some other sort of stimulation helpful, but there's many, many things that should really be done before your sleep time. So the preparation part is really important. And I like to say to people that are having problems sleeping, first of all, start by looking at your sleep space. Is your room a really nice place to be? You know, have it clean, have it tidy, have nice sheets on the bed, have it a place that you actually want to go to and sleep, and uncluttered as well.
That's a good point. I find as well, just because I get hay fever if it's too dusty, like if there's dust, if the room's not, you know, wiped down, yep. Even the skirting boards, that can build up dust there. So good to make sure that they're clean so I'm not having that issue.
Yes,
absolutely. My nose getting itchy or, you know, having trouble kind of breathing properly.
Yeah, makes a difference. Some people might find a sleep diary really helpful if they're not sure why they wake up during the night or what's keeping them awake, that they document exactly what happens to them overnight, and then they might find some denominators that perhaps are the reason why they sleep, why they're not sleeping and waking. Alcohol is often a thing that people will take to help them fall asleep, and yes, it does help you fall asleep, but it's not so good at keeping you asleep, and often you'll find you wake up feeling dehydrated, and your sleep cycle is just interrupted by alcohol, so best to avoid that. Gosh, there's just so many things for you, and I could just talk forever.
1-300-813-911 is the phone number if you'd like to chat with Deb and get some advice. If you have a sleeping issue, or maybe someone in your family, someone close to you has trouble sleeping, do call in to get some advice this morning. 1-300-813-911 is the phone number, or you can text in on 0467-842-722. A text message says, my main issue is getting to sleep in the first place, lying there for hours, unable to stop the brain from thinking. I've stopped looking at my phone screen before bed, but I do watch telly up until bedtime. Any ideas on how to improve actually getting to sleep?
Yes, this is a really common problem, and often children have this problem too, because parents will give their children screens before bed, or children will be on computers or on their phones, and blue light is not a good thing to be looking at before sleep. It actually wakes the brain up and it stops melatonin from being produced, and melatonin is the sleepy hormone. So some of the things you can try is, first of all, turn off anything that's stimulating your mind. So no TV in the bedroom, no electronic devices. Start preparing your mind for bedtime a little bit earlier. So closing the curtains, all light really should be eliminated to get melatonin really kicking in. And
all light? Can you have a reading light?
Well, any light is going to reduce the effect of melatonin.
Then how do you read if there's no light? Read before
sleep. We're talking about people that can't get to sleep. So we're not talking about people.
So this is after you've prepared to go to sleep, after you've done your reading, that type of thing.
Yes, when you're actually in the space of sleeping and you're listening to your body, and your body wants to go to sleep, but your mind is overactive.
Sure.
You don't want to be stimulating it. So one of the things that is helpful for a lot of people is to have a really dark room and to open their eyes and say to their brain, okay, you can't go to sleep. Just keep your eyes open. And the brain just hates that kind of boredom. So your eyes are open, you're staring at a black room, and your brain just goes, no thanks, I can't do this. And you'll find that your eyes actually start to getting, your eyelids get heavier and heavier. That's one of the techniques that is quite successful.
Interesting. Okay, so try that. Any other ideas? Lying there, brain's just going. I've heard in the past making a list of things to do the next day, so you're not thinking about
exactly
what
that,
you have to do.
That's a good thing to say to your mind. Okay, these are the things that I have to deal with tomorrow. I've written them down. I don't need to worry about them now. So just go to sleep. Some people often find that music too is really helpful for calming them. Some meditative style music.
And what about something like meditation? Is that good?
Look, I think whatever you do, you have to have it into your daily routine. It can take 4 to 6 weeks to change a sleep habit, really, to change any habit. So whatever you do, you have to repeat it every single night. You have to go to bed at the same time every night and get up at the same time every day and get your brain into thinking, this is the sleep time, this is the wake time. So for people that are staying up late Monday to Friday, catching up with work or whatever they're doing, studying, and then find on the weekend this is the time where they sleep in and crash, they're not really going to have a great sleep pattern, because they need to be practicing great sleep every single night.
Someone's called in, they couldn't stay on the phone, but he says he has great sleep, average 6 hours a night, uninterrupted, but he's been told the fact he can go off to sleep within 2 to 3 minutes is actually a problem, so he can get to sleep really quickly. Is that a problem?
Well, that's a problem that a lot of people would like to have. You've got no problem sleeping. Congratulations.
And 6 hours a night uninterrupted, gosh, there's many of us who'd love that.
Yeah, 6 hours is the minimum that you should get, between 6 and 8 hours for adults and around 12 hours for children, even teenagers. They really do need a lot of sleep.
The problem with teens, though, is that they want to stay up late and then they need to get up early to get to school.
Yeah.
They often don't get that 12 hours, do they?
No, and that's the thing is with teens, they're wired to not go to sleep at night. So because of all the hormonal surges and things that are happening, they can't fall asleep. So when they say they can't get to sleep and they're on devices, they really physiologically cannot get to sleep. And because then they have to wake up the next morning, they're sleep deprived. So they're in a constant state of sleep debt. And some of the schools in Australia even are addressing that by starting the school time later in the day. So starting an hour later, so teens have a chance to sleep in and catch up.
It's a good idea, isn't it,
it's
really?
A great idea.
And then I suppose, you know, it's probably the reason why some teens, as well as all the hormonal changes that are happening, they're a bit grumpy too. Because they're not getting...
We're all grumpy when we don't sleep, aren't we? I mean, there's so many things that are happening when you don't get enough sleep. Your memory's poor. You don't learn as well. You don't take in as much, especially for younger children. Their whole day is filled with learning new experiences. And when they're not sleeping, they're not retaining that information. Emotions and being irrational are all things that always affect people that are sleep deprived.
So, yeah, so important to get a good night's sleep. Interesting text says, if blue light fights sleep, could the use of blue dashboard lights be effective in combating driver fatigue? Well, I don't know. I don't think Deb is a driving expert or driver fatigue expert. You'd hope the driver themselves has had enough sleep, and I guess that's another reason to get enough sleep.
Well, they actually are saying that if you're sleep deprived and you're driving, you have a equivalent of between a 0.5 and a 0.1 blood alcohol reading.
So this idea of not drinking before sleep, can you just talk us through why not and how early or how many hours before sleep should we stop drinking?
Well, you know, I think probably a couple of hours before sleep, not have it as the anecdote to go to sleep. So, you know, pouring yourself a glass of wine and drinking that and then going straight to bed. It disrupts the way our sleep cycles happen. So there's four stages, and when you go to sleep, you're missing one of the stages of sleep, and that therefore causes the whole pattern to change later on in the night, which is why you wake.
Because sleep should be deep enough to be restorative.
Absolutely. Yes.
So how do we know if we're in the deep sleep?
Well, you're not going to know it until you wake up the next day.
How do you know you've had a good deep sleep should have been that question.
Well, you know, the research used to say that it didn't matter if you only got a small amount of sleep as long as you were sleeping deeply, but that's been refuted now. You actually do need sleep hours, so minimum of 6 hours is really what you should be pushing for. And, I find I specialise with a lot of mothers that need sleep with children that are sleep deprived, and often they let the children either wear themselves out thinking the children have got so much energy they're never going to fall asleep, but actually that's a sign of sleep deprivation for children. They become hyperactive, whereas adults go the opposite way. They wind down and just really can't wait to lie down.
Children go the other way. So yeah. You might be thinking, all right, they're expending some energy here. They'll sleep well tonight. But in fact, they should already maybe be in bed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By the time they get to that rabid point.
Yep, that's right. They really do need, you need to watch them and look for those signs of yawning and just starting to be a bit irritable. And, you know, if you're doing a great routine, and many parents just have a fabulous nighttime routine, but what they don't realise is their routines are too long, and it doesn't take much to push your little one into overdrive. And that's when they show all the signs of wanting to go to sleep, and next minute they're, you know, climbing up the cot, climbing out of bed, asking a million questions, all that sort of hyperactive behaviour. And basically you've just pushed them over the line.
Text message says, morning, Fiona. I run through all the things I'm thankful for in my life. We're talking about, you know, making that list before bed so your brain isn't ticking over too much. So this person runs through all the things they're thankful for in their life. It's a positive way to end the day. I always get to sleep. Isn't that nice?
That's lovely. That's a really nice, calming way of going to sleep, isn't it?
Deb, just before I let you go, tell us more about your work with children, because they can be disruptive to an adult's sleep, but their sleep is also often disrupted, especially the younger children. How does all that play out within the family, and what's your advice with that?
Look, one of the things with children that are not sleeping well is they're in sleep debt. So they find it difficult to go to sleep. They wake frequently, and this is one of the bugbears of many parents that have children that are waking. And some of the parents I consult with have children waking every 1 to 2 hours all night and have never been good sleepers their whole life. So my heart really goes out to those mums and dads that are living really the nightmare of a child not sleeping well. A lot of parents will find that they're waiting for their child to grow out of that stage, but really it is in the best interests of the whole family to take some action and get sleep sorted.
Mm. So what is your advice initially then? If you have a child who wakes up, maybe not that 1 to 2 hours, but, a couple of times a night, then you're up, maybe you can't get back to sleep. What's your advice for that situation?
Well, Fiona, I've developed a system that's in three parts, really, and it's about the routine, making that short and sweet, and keeping your child happy. Don't get into that negative zone from the word go.
What, of like, go to sleep, just close your eyes.
Exactly.
Go to sleep.
yes. Just keeping it all very light and happy and using techniques that make bedtime fun, really. Again, the routine really needs to be short and sweet as well. And then children really do need support. There's no point putting a child into a room and closing the door and saying, I'll see you in the morning, because children need to have parents nearby. They need to learn how to relax, and they need to have confidence in themselves. And they're not going to have that if they're in a situation where they're frightened and they need support.
Yeah, so if they want the door open, if they want the hallway light on, that's okay.
Always. I always would say to parents, at least
it's
a nightlight.
It's not keeping them awake, though?
No, a low-key nightlight or a hall night. Children like to know that if they need you, you're accessible. Mm. It's more stressful. And that's one of the things that all the research is showing, that keeping stress levels down, what we're trying to do is set a pattern in our children's brain that has them responsive and knowing how to deal with stress. And children that are stressed at a young age in those developmental years are more likely to react to stress with more stress rather than reacting to stress with a calmer approach.
Interesting to talk with you this morning, Deb. We must have you back at some time in the future. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Fiona.
Deb Herdman is a health professional sleep expert. She runs the Nye Nye Sleepyhead firm at Heathcote.